just have a 20-year-old boy.
How's your father, man?
Started out to away in Northwest London. Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Elul, 1st of Elul, 28th of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka Shlita, dating, Shidduchim, and the graphology. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Torah Away regulars and friends of Graham Summers, in memory of his late father, Bernard Summers, of Ron Larocha, Rebero Boruch, Ben Moshe Yosef, who was nifted on the 19th of Av. We all miss you, Graham, and wish you a Chaim Arukim in good health.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. I can add to that and to wish Graham Chaim Arukim, a beloved member of this Chabura, as is the Hartman Chaim Lechaim. Norman Greenberg was here the last time I think I gave, and he was also a regular feature for many years, and you should have an Ilum Neshama. For those with a good memory, this is actually a part two. Oh, you've got a good memory. But don't worry if you are here and you don't remember you weren't here in the part one, it's not a problem, it's a standalone shir. But just to remind you, just some of the highlights of part one, just as a quick refreshment, we discussed the whole concept of shidduchim. And we discussed if there is a mitzvah to be involved in shidduchim. We concluded, of course, there is a mitzvah to be involved, and what the sources for that are, what the word means. It either means lashon of shalom, of peaceful, or it means to bind together. We spoke about that. But the mainstay of the shir was the shadchan's fee. What is the chiyuv to pay the shadchan? And we said there were two different sources. One is to pay him al soicha, and one is to pay al yered l'toich sodeil. And we said the nafkamina, the differences would be if the shadchan approaches the parents or the parents approach the shadchan, and there are differences between them. Some very interesting nafkaminas. One nafkamina, for example, is when do you actually have to pay? Do you pay after they get engaged, or do you pay at some later point? What happens if chas v'shalom is a broken engagement? Is there still an obligation to pay? And all of these were nafkaminas according to that distinction. If the shatran approaches the parents approach the shatran. That's what we spoke about last time. We also discussed who pays. Do the parents pay? Do the children pay? We discuss which side pays, the chosn, the kallel, the 50-50, what if one can't afford to pay, etc. We also discussed international shidduchim, where the rates to pay the shatran is different in different places. So for example, if in Eretz Yisrael it's one rate, and in America or England it's a different rate. So what happens if one side is from one place and another side is from another place? What happens in all of these situations? And then we discussed, briefly this landmine of shidduch information, of what one has to say, what one should say, what one mustn't say, these sort of things. And again, these are big topics, and you need guidance about that. But if you're pleased, you can take the sheets home, and you're welcome to listen online. It's no doubt been recorded on Torah OA or Kol Loshon, and you're welcome to listen to all of that. The focus for today is really the last page of the handout, page 4. And it's a very, very interesting topic, dating, shidduchim, and graphology. And it's based on a piece in the Vaharevna. Yeah, the famous book by Reb Zilberstein, son-in-law of Yashiv, brother-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky. And it's a fascinating case that came to his desk. He seems to be a magnet to attract some very interesting cases, and this is another of them. What was the case that came his way? The background case is this. There was a young couple who were dating, they were going out, and it was looking very promising, that they were heading towards getting engaged, and he was going to propose. But all of a sudden, the father-in-law, her father, threw a grenade, and he said that you're not allowed to get engaged until I get his handwriting tested. You're going to have to ask him to get a few lines of writing. I'll take it to a graphologist, and the graphologist will ascertain the nature of this potential husband, son-in-law. Because a father of a daughter is very protective. Let's be done the kafschus, and he's nervous, and he wants to check. Now, the fellow is none too pleased. He's none too pleased, and he thinks it's totally out of place, it's inappropriate, it's not done, and he storms off in a huff, and I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Nebuch, this poor girl, is caught in between. She likes him, he likes her, they want to get engaged, but this is what the father's insisting. So he cools down a little bit. A day or two later, they meet again, and he's calmed down. He says, you know, I thought about it, I was totally put out, and I think it's crazy still, but I'll do it. Fine, a day or two later, he brings the thing.
He's musking, right?
So a day or two later, he brings the thing, a piece of paper, he's written, and the father gives it to the girl gives it to the father gives it to the graphologist, and the graphologist ascertains. Now, this is a real chochma. I don't know much about it, to be honest, but it is a real chochma. We'll discuss at the end. If there's time, there's a chochma called Koyach HaParzuf, chochma HaParzuf, where you can actually look at a person and you can see things. There is a chochma of seeing, seeing the palm, reading palms and things like that. There are such chochmas out there. But here, this is graphology. That means you're looking at handwriting. So the report came back. Gewaldic. Yeah, fantastic. He's a Balmidas, he's intelligent, he's kind, he's going to make a fabulous husband. So the father-in-law was delighted. They get engaged. Yeah, a week or two later, they're sitting down. And he says to her, listen, I've got a confession. It wasn't my handwriting. It wasn't my handwriting. I went to the best guy in Yeshiva, Hutaka. He's a Balmidas, he's intelligent, he's a sensitive fellow, he'll make a great husband. But it wasn't my handwriting. I didn't want to give in. This is what I did. So he now feels guilty. He can't sleep at night. And maybe the shidduch was on false pretenses. Maybe they've got to get disengaged. Maybe this is a mekach tos. So he goes to his rov. The couple, and she Nebuch is not, doesn't, what does she think about this? So they go to their rov. Now, when you do smicha, this is not on the curriculum, yeah? this sort of question. Yeah? There's debate about what should be involved in the curriculum. Yes, mikvois, no mikvois. Yes, avelus, no avelus. But this cheating husband graphologist, Shilas, is not on the curriculum. So the Rav is not sure what to do with it, and he takes it to Reb Zilberstein. Yeah? As often, these sort of questions end up on his desk, and he... Now, in short, we're going to explore it more, but in short, he basically says this. He says that he should not lechatchila b'dievet. Lechatchila, he should not have done what he did. It was wrong. He was dishonest, it was fraudulent, and it was wrong. He should not have done what he did. If he didn't want to do it, he should have just told the girl or the father-in-law, I don't think either you take me as it is, or I don't want to do it. You don't have to, but b'dievet. But the Evet, after the fact, now that it's done and dusted and he did it, he does not certainly have to call off the engagement, and he doesn't even have to tell the father-in-law what he did. But the Evet. Now let's explore that a little more. Let's take a look at source number 4b. Famous Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Al shleisha devarim ha'olam oimid, al hadin, al ha'emes, al ha'shalom shenema, emes u'mishpat shalom shifti b'sharechem. You see that emes is a pillar upon which the world stands. It's a primary feature of life. The Gemara in Shabbos says, chayis mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, the very seal, the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. The pele yoitz, under the word sheker, and in fact the Mesidus Hasharim makes exactly the same point, they both say this. Someone who doesn't speak honestly, he's dishonest. He not only does he violate, and his punishment is very grave. Say ulamad, listen to the interesting thing. With other aveiras, it doesn't say, it just says, don't eat bosu v'cholov. Yeah, don't break shabbat. It doesn't say keep far away from it, but when it comes to honesty, it says midvar sheker tircha, keep far away from it. So the Mesillas Yesharim and the Pele Yoetz both say that it's very important to be to behave with honesty, and involved, and he said, therefore, Zilberstein said, what this fellow did was wrong. It involved lots of Isurim. It involved Gnevas Das. Mm-hmm. It was deception. It involved Sheker. He lied. He pretended this was his. He said this was his writing, and it wasn't his writing. There's Honah. It's sort of when you offer an item for sale with attributes of things which it has, which it doesn't really have, that could be involved in that as well. And moreover, there's interesting, there's a Yerushalmi. Look at this Yerushalmi. It's in paragraph C. It's in Shvius. Omer Rabbi Yosi, Hada Omer Barnash, the Toni Chada Michle, Vuhu Azul Asar, Vinun Mekrin Le Begin Tarte, a guy knows one Masechta. And they praise him. He goes to a place where he's less known. And they praise him. This fellow, he knows two Masechtas. I remember once in school in base, there was a fellow who came back Ben Azmanim. Baruch Hashem, a lot of the boys come back Ben Azmanim, and they're done with us, and we catch up. He came back and he had won the competition. There was a competition in Eretz Yisrael between various yeshivas. You had to learn one Masechta and you were tested in it. And you had to know it cold. And who knew it best? And this kid, one of our alumni, he knew Masechta's Megillah, literally backwards and forwards. You could ask him anything anywhere. Now, if we stood up and said, this boy knows Masechta's Megillah and Masechta's Tanis, he's got to stand up and say, oh, no, it's only Megillah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Tzorich mei meloin anachad michla anachokim. No, I know Megillah. You can't. You've got to protest it. You've got to say the honest truth. There's a fabulous story I came across involving Rav Rotman. Rav Rotman, I don't know if you're familiar with him or heard of him. He was the Rosh Shiva of Merkaz HaTorah. Merkaz HaTorah had an interesting setup. The Nossi of the yeshiva was Rav Chaim Kreisworth. Chaim Kreisworth is perhaps more well known. He was one of the gedolim of the last generation. He was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He had an unbelievable memory. He would stand up and he would quote just lines of Gemara Shteh, of Marsha, without looking. Without there were different people. I heard yesterday someone told me, famous not with the Kreisworth, with the Ruderman. You told me.
Yeah,
you told me, Martin. Dr. Harris told me a story yesterday that that a fellow went, Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore, in his later years, he suffered from an eye ailment and needed an eye operation. But you needed to recover. In those days, you needed, I think you said, 4 days to stay there for several days until he recovered fully. He had a Talmud, a former Talmud, who was a doctor. And after a day, Rav Ruderman was getting itchy. He wanted to leave already. So he said, you can't leave, it's too soon, etc. And you've got to pass some reading tests. He said, okay, I'll do the reading tests. Get me a Gemara Brachas. So you got, fine, our reading test is different. Yeah, give me a Gemara Brachas. So the fellow comes out with the Gemara and opens it up, Beis Amud Aleph, and the Ruderman starts laying the Gemara beautifully, reading perfectly. Eyesight restored. So he says, see, I can go home now. So the fellow said, no, you can't. He said, why not? Because he said, because it's a Gemara Shabbos. I brought you a Gemara Shabbos. Yeah? So there are people of caliber, yeah, who knew things, but yeah. And Rav Kreisworth is one of them. So he was the Nossi of the yeshiva. But he lived in Antwerp. He was the chief rabbi of Antwerp. And he visited the yeshiva several times a year in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rosh Yeshiva on the ground was Rav Rotman. Now, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he ran the yeshiva on a day-to-day basis. Now, interesting, one time Rav Rotman was in America. The bane of the life of the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, is to collect money to keep the yeshiva going. So he would make an annual trip to America to collect money. And one time, he was in America, and he was there for a three-week trip. And after a while, he called Rav Kreisworth from America. He called Rav Kreisworth, who was in Antwerp. And he said, Nossi, he said, I'm here in America on my annual fundraising trip. I feel bad, I'm away from my wife for 3 weeks on this trip. Could I go to the store and buy my wife a dress with the Nossi mind? So Christ said, for sure, of course you can go. You're going for the yeshiva, for sure go. And I'm in charge of the yeshiva, and if I want to give you a ride, and you want to use the yeshiva money and go and buy your wife a dress. He said, what? He said, use the yeshiva money? Chas v'shalom. That's not what I was asking. I was asking, could I take an hour out of my day to go to the store to buy it, because I'm here on yeshiva time, it's not my time. With my money, can I go to the store and buy a dress for my wife? Right? So these are levels of, you know, if you and I were in a way and wanted to buy a present for our wife, we wouldn't think twice. go to the store and buy something. It's a different level. So said Reb Zilberstein to this young man, what you did was wrong, because lechatchila you should have been more honest. However, but the eved, you're allowed to stay engaged. And the truth is, the father has no right to interfere in this situation. Now, that's an interesting halacha. I'm very careful if I ever say this in school, but yeah, because it's, I'll tell you why in a second, but look at the Ramah in 4e. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodeh Simen Reish Mem, Sif Chafhei, the Ramah says, V'chein im ha'av meiche b'ben nisa eze isha shiach b'tzba ben. If a parent protests and says, I don't want you, my son, or my daughter, to marry this fellow, this person, this... Ein etzarech l'shmoyel ha'av, you do not need to listen to the parent. It's based on the Ma'arik, and that's a whole shir in its own right, why there's three rationales of the Ma'arik. It's a very interesting shir, why you don't have to listen. Now, I tell my kids in school, I said, you should know 99 out of 100 times, if not more, parents know you better than know yourself, and they have your best interests in mind, and it would be very clever to listen to your parents, and to at least take on board or to get, you know, but when push comes to shove, and therefore, if the father came back, the graphologist report came back, terrible, and said, and the girl and the boy still want to get married, they're allowed to get married. It's their life. They can choose to get married. Yeah. Yeah, the same as well. Same as well. No chiluk. He's, yeah.
He didn't agree for the whole test in the first place.
Who?
I mean, the chosim.
Right, so, and even if he agreed and changed his mind...
Yeah, but how can she ever trust him again?
Oh, that's a separate issue. So there's a separate issue which I'll come to, that's a good point. Where he behaved in a way shows us a flaw in his character.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a certain degree of dishonesty and conniving, and that's a problem. So the problem, and that's a problem she'll have to consider, whether she... But we'll come to that in a second, that's a very good point. So, but I'm just from a halakhic point of view, push comes to shove, they don't have to listen to a parent.
Yeah.
And therefore, and furthermore, Reb Zilberstein says, look what happened to Besuel when he tried to interfere with the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. He didn't have a very happy ending. He was all over, right? So, now, there's also another raya that Reb Zilberstein brings, a very interesting raya. There's a Mishnah in the Nedarim, I think it's a Mishnah. It says there in the Nedarim, in Chaf Zayinim Beis, Noidrin laharogin v'lacharomin v'lamoichsin shei truma. You're allowed to make a neda, to harogin, to people who come and kill. For the chermin, for the moichsin, chermin are people who steal, and moichsin are tax inspectors, she truma. Afa pisha in a truma. Now look at what the Rosh says. The Rosh says, Noidrim, who are these? Noidrim, harogin, chermin, moichsin. Harogim, him listim harogim, kadei lika chamomen. Harogim are people who kill, they'll take the money and they will kill you if you don't give them the goods. Chermin, him goizlin. They steal, avol einam hargim, but they don't kill you. So not only can you make a neda for hargim, and you can say that this barrel, say for example, they break into your house and they want to steal an expensive barrel of wine. So you can say this wine is truma. You can make a neda which is not true, and you can say this wine is truma to put off these hargim v'chamosim. Well, just when you think about it, by the way, the mind boggles. We're talking about a guy who's quite easy to steal and even kill. But when it comes to truma,
he's a tzaddik.
He's a tzaddik. When it comes to that, there's a maisa, just so I'll tell you a funny story. There's a story, it happened, you know, one of the banes of yeshiva life is when you buy something, you're staring, you're in a dira, boys are going back today, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So you're in a dira, and you have a shared fridge, a shared common, and you put your own thing in the fridge. And, you know, because it's common, you know, everyone's there, it's hefker almost. So there's one fellow who was an Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva, he liked shoko. You know shoko, the chocolate milk? So he liked shoko, and he bought his own shoko, and he kept it in the fridge. But everyone else liked shoko as well, right? So they were taking his shoko, so he needed to do something. So he wrote on the thing, prati. Yeah, private. This is not for public consumption. Didn't help at all. People started, kept taking it. So he decided to do something a bit more dramatic. He wrote on it, Lo Signov. Now, even though the Aseret HaDibros is talking about kidnap, yeah, but there is an Issa in the Torah of theft. Lo Signov. It didn't help at all. So then he came up with a different idea. He wrote on it, Cholov Akum. Right? And no one touched it. No one touched it. Right? I think that Sajigon says it's a shame the Aseres Hadibros weren't the Aseres Haminhogim, because otherwise people would keep them. Right? Yeah, I think it was something along those lines, Sajigon. Yeah. So this Mishnah in Nedarim is an interesting thing. You have someone who's going to break in, would steal your wine, or even kill you for it. But yet, if you would say this wine is truma, neither it sort of reduces the value your market if you're going to sell it to, is less. But it's particularly about truma, but not about theft or even murder. So you're allowed to. So says Reb Zilberstein, you see from this Mishnah that lying to prevent unlawful action by somebody else who's trying to harm you is actually okay. So you and I learn this Gemara in the Dorim, you know, we learn the Mishnah, we learn the Rosh, Kop Shat, move on. But Reb Zilberstein can register this Mishnah and can marshal it at a later point to bring it as a source for exactly what he's trying to bring. Remarkable. So you see that it's a good raya that lying to prevent unlawful action by somebody else trying to harm you seems to be okay. So therefore, lechatchila, he shouldn't have done it, but the Eved, if he did it, it's okay. Now, let me just finish off with a very interesting postscript. There is a Tiferes Yisrael. Now, you mentioned the interesting, important point. It displays this boy not in the best of light. At the end of the day, he lied to his wife-to-be, and he was deceitful. Now, that is a character flaw, which perhaps maybe could sound some alarm bells.
If according to the Rosh, he's allowed to do it.
Yeah, according to Rosh, he's allowed to do it. Yeah, true. So possibly sound some alarm bells. There is an interesting Tiferes Yisrael at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Now, this is quite a debated Tiferes Yisrael. You'll see why in a second. And it's debated whether it's authentic, not authentic. But there's a lot of literature on this exact point. But be that as it may, it brings out a point which I think is very important. What does the Tiferes Yisrael say? The Tiferes Yisrael says, at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, which is nice, he tells a very interesting story. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, we discussed it here once in Torah Way actually, the Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu, how old was he when he came over to the snare? He was a teenager, possibly even 12 or 13, I think he says, he was young. He came back to save Klal Yisrael when he was 80 years old. Sorry, he was 12 or 13 when he saw Ishmaqes Eskaver. He saw when he saw their friends. But where was he in the interim?
King.
Right? So he went off to Kush, there's lots of Midrashim. He went off and he was sort of king training school, right? To lead Klal Yisrael. Now, he then went into, he came back 80 years old, and for 40 years, as we know, he took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim in the Midbar for 40 years. When he was in the Midbar, people, he had a worldwide international reputation because he was the person who brought the superpower of his day to its knees. And one of the neighboring kings one of the African countries said that he was curious, who is this Moshe Rabbeinu? I've heard so much about him. I want to find out about him. So he sent an artist to go to the Midbar to find the Jewish camp and to find Moshe Rabbeinu and to draw a picture of him. Fine. So he sent his artist, the artist went, and he found Moshe Rabbeinu, and he drew a picture, a portrait. He then brought it back, and just like there's some of the graphologists, or there's a fellow who is one of his wise men, who was able to look at the painting, and through Chochmas HaKoyach HaPartsuf, looking at the face of a person, he could tell you about this person. So he said, he looked at this person, and he said, Mr. King, I've got to tell you that this fellow is not a particularly big Baal Midas. He gets angry, he's got a short temper, he's selfish, every bad midah. So the king is confused. He's heard wonderful things about this leader of the Jewish people. He goes back to his artist and he says, are you sure this is what he looks like? Absolutely. He goes back to the advisor, are you sure this is your interpretation? Yeah. He's so dumbfounded, he himself travels to the Midbar and he seeks out Moshe Rabbeinu, and sure enough, he looks like in the painting, he goes, look, you've got to help me, Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, this is what happened. I got my artist to draw and I can see this is lifelike. And this is how he's interpreting it. I mean, explain. Moshe Rabbeinu said, he's right. He says, I was born with these midas, but I worked on myself and I changed, and now these midas are history. Now that's a very interesting point. They say that Moshe Feinstein, he bought in the 1950s, there was a new shas, well, these big shas, and you know, you see it with big margins on the side. And he had this new shas, which was at the time, you know, a fabulous new edition. And do you remember the days where he had an inkwell? He had it in the desks, so you have inkwells and those. And he was sitting writing there on his thing, they were giving shir. And he had to go out for a moment, and the boys were keen to see this new shas. They leaned, everyone crowded around the desk to see, and one of them knocked the inkwell and spilled the ink all over this new shas. And then Reb Moshe came back in. And, you know, you'd expect anybody to shout, to fly off the handle. And Moshe didn't. And he sat down, and the guy after him said, don't you get angry ever? He said to Reb Moshe Feinstein. And Reb Moshe says, I did get angry, but for many years I've worked on this, and I've now controlled it. So you see that my point of mentioning this to Tiferes Yisrael is that even if this young man did do something which was not appropriate, it doesn't mean he's fixed in that way for life. And I think on Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's an important take home. It's an important message. We may, you know, we all have middos that we need to improve. But we don't think that they're fixed they're fixed forever. We can pick one, we can do in slow and easy steps to try and improve and to work on something. But I think that message of the Tiferes Yisrael, whether it's a true maaser or not a true maaser, I don't think is so relevant. But the point is, the concept of taking a middah and improving and working and fixing, I think is a very real one. So just to summarize, what have we said? This very unusual case of the graphologist and this young man and this young girl, the Reb Zilberstein Paskin, the Lechatchila, he should not have done what he did. It involved many many problems, Gnevas Das, Sheker, Hinoi, etc., etc., and violates lots of essentials in Yiddishkeit. However, but the Eved, after they've done what they did, the Maisa, they do not have to get disengaged, they don't even have to tell the parents they have no right to interfere, etc. And that postscript of the Tiferes Yisrael about not being fixed in our ways and being able, you know, using Elul and life to try and improve our midas, I think is a very important one.
If the person who took the picture should have seen that it's changed. His midas are changed.
The parts of changes that might not be not.
Perhaps the fact that he owned up.
Yeah,
that really shows he was covish on it.